Amen. What's up, campus? How you doing? Feeling good? Wow. Well, it's exciting to be here. Man, I was super blown away at the people that came up and did the item, preach it. Let's give it up for those people that came up here. I know whenever we do that, I'm sitting here thinking like, man, you know, when we plan our lessons and the topics, we're like, oh, you know, obviously we need to be challenged sometimes. We've got to make sure it's not too tough. And then we have something like this and people get to come up here and they just rip it.
Right.
And I'm like, man, maybe people want to be challenged a little more.
Yeah.
Or when they get a chance, that's just what they want to do with it. But tonight I'm hoping to really encourage you with the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
It is exciting. It's already February. Crazy, right? And this is the first time that we're together for the year. We didn't have a Devo in January. And so it's refreshing to me for us all to be together. And I hope it is to you too. And the new year has been great for us, for our family. And Chelsea's home with the kids who are sick. And she's also home with the newest addition to our family, which is our little puppy, Maxie. There she is. Now, you probably, maybe you thought, oh, does Rob have a piercing? Is he copying Jada? No. This is a cut on my ear from my dog nipping at me while we were wrestling. But she is adorable. And, you know, many of you, when I put this up there, especially I heard Brielle, many of you said, aw. And she is cute. And so you say, aw. And now I weirdly feel like when I show pictures of my family, it has to be one with her in it. So you got to figure that out. But, you know, when you say, aw, A-W, right, with maybe more W's. When you say awe at something like a baby or a dog, that should not be confused with the word awe in the song that we just sang, all right? We don't stand in awe of God, all right? You know, we stand in awe of God in a different way. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is about standing in awe of God. The word awe with an E at the end, a little different, awe. The definition is a feeling of reverential, that means deep, really deep, a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder, right? So when you stand in awe of something or someone, it's this feeling of reverential, deep respect that's also mixed with wonder, like wow, and also fear, you know, wow. And you know, at my wedding, when Chelsea and I got married, which we just celebrated our 7th anniversary married, we had the song Stand in Awe sung. And I was definitely standing in awe of her as she came down the aisle, and still standing in awe of her as she is beautiful and fierce. And I have a healthy respect mixed with fear and wonder for her. And, you know, and so we stand in awe of people in situations like that. But there's other things that provoke awe in us where we go, wow, look at this, is amazing. There's things like thunderstorms, right? If you capture lightning and you see it, you go, wow, there's something awesome about that. Storms like tornadoes. If you saw this coming towards you, you would stand in awe. And then you would run in awe, right? You know, there's things like mountain ranges. Right, and you see, pictures don't do views like this justice, right? You ever take a picture and you're like, oh, what the heck, right? And you're like, I'll just put my phone away. You know, mountains, it creates, we're like, look how impressive this is. It's truly awesome. You know, beautiful sunsets and nature, mountain ranges, things like a lion. You know, I got to do a safari when I went to Kenya and we saw wild lions and I was nervous. You know, it was right outside the truck and I'm like, this thing is awesome, like in a scary, like I had fear, you know, and it's amazing, but you're also like, if there was a lion in here, you'd feel uncomfortable, you know? You'd be like, all right, this thing is beautiful, but I want to get away, because it's awesome. Things like a gorgeous sunset, you know, you see sunsets and it just invokes awe in us. You know, when I see pictures that are taken with telescopes we have now of the universe, I'm just like, what even? You know, there's stuff you see. I don't even know how this looks up here. All right, it's a lot clearer on a better phone or screen. But, you know, you see these images of our universe and you're like, what is going on out there? And it's awesome. You see this stuff and it puts us into perspective. And I think it really helps us to stand in awe. You know, these These things invoke awe in us, and honestly, I think they should. They should invoke awe in us, but perhaps we're too in awe, drawn to and respectful of created things or people or things people do than we are to the one who created all of these things and these people. You know, what is the awe pointing us to? All this stuff we just went through, all this stuff that's awesome, what is it all pointing to? Right? Are we in awe of the sign or where the sign is pointing us? All of this is here to show us the divine nature and character of God. And if all of this stuff just puts us in awe of it, but doesn't put us in awe of God, then we've missed the picture. God deserves our awe, our deep reverence, respect, amazement, fear, wonder, admiration, more than any of these other things do. More than any person does for anything a person's done. When we're in awe of something or someone, we treat it accordingly. Right? When we're in awe of something, we heed to its power, right? We're like, I got to get away from this tornado. When we're in awe of something, we take pictures. We share about it. We post about it. It draws our attention. We tell other people about it. You know, it's a lot easier in your Christianity, your discipleship. It is a lot easier to be grateful to God, to trust Him, to submit to Him, to obey Him, to want to spend time with Him, to want to tell others about Him, if you're truly in awe of Him.
Right.
If you're really in awe of God, if you really see Him and you know Him, it will drive you to do all the things He asks you to do for Him. Right? Out of awe for Him, we'll tell others about Him. We'll want to be close to Him. Our attention will be drawn to Him if we really see Him for who He is. You know, I don't want to sound rude, but if after tonight, and not because of the quality of my lesson, but really just because of the content of these scriptures and these things about God that I'll share with you. If after tonight you don't want to seek God wholeheartedly, or you don't want to put Him as the main priority in your life, I really just want you to leave knowing that that is not His fault. That's your fault. Right? There's not something wrong with God. There's something wrong with you. If you're not in awe of God, you're not paying attention, or you're not understanding or seeing something clearly. Because if you really see God for who He is, you will stand in awe. And so that's the title of my lesson tonight, is Stand in Awe. Are you in awe of God tonight? Are you living in awe of Him? Does the way you live look like you think He is awesome? The most awesome? And if you're truly in awe of Him the way you should be, it'll change everything for you. Yeah. It'll change your lifestyle. It'll change your Christianity. Instead of before giving into temptation, thinking, well, what if my campus minister finds out about this? What if I have to confess this? What will my mom think? Right? Instead of deciding if you believe something or not, you're like, well, does my pastor agree with this? Does my minister agree with this? If you're really in awe of God, you won't care what anybody else thinks. You'll just care about what He thinks. And then whether anybody else knows or sees, you know, well, God sees, and I am in awe of Him. And so I will, out of reverence, fear, and wonder, I will do what honors Him. Being in awe of God will change your lifestyle and change your Christianity. Job 25:2 says, dominion and awe belong to God. So who owns awe? We give awe to other things, but who really deserves it? Who owns it? God does. He establishes order in the highest heavens. Right, we're amazed at things people do on small scales sometimes. Oh, you pulled off this event. That's awesome. Oh, you won a game. Oh, you got this trophy. God holds order in the highest of heavens, right? In the universe. That is truly awesome. Psalm 119, verse 120 says, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe at your laws. Right, we should look to God's word and be like, I need to obey this because I see who God is, and I don't want to disobey Him. Yeah. Acts 2:43 is a description of the first century church. And we look up to them and we want to imitate their faith. And it says about them, everyone was filled with awe as they saw the things that God was doing through them. We want to be a church, a campus ministry where everyone is filled with awe. And there's dozens of passages reflecting on the awesomeness of God, His deeds, His power, His words. And we should really look at those and have those sink in and appreciate them. You know, my goal for tonight is not to have an in-depth, overly in-depth study on the character of God. This should be the rest of your life studying this out.
Right.
But I do hope tonight, my goal is to scratch the surface of understanding who God is in a way that drives us near to Him and to want to see Him and know Him better and to live in deeper awe of Him. And my hope is that that awe will cause you, to love and to respect God more deeply than you do right now. And that the way you live will reflect that. You're going to have to personally apply this for yourself tonight. As you see the awesomeness of God, you're going to have to ask, well, what does this mean for my life? Do you need to rearrange your priorities? Do you need to commit better time with God? Is there something you need to change or repent of? Right? Do you need to decide, you know what? I don't even know God. I need to seek Him. I need to learn who He is. Or maybe you've been studying the Bible but hesitant to commit to Him. Maybe seeing Him tonight will help you go, what am I doing being at odds with this God? I need to be forgiven by Him and make Him Lord and be on His side. Right? You need to personally apply this tonight. But my goal is for us to truly stand in awe of God.
Amen.
God deserves a constant place of awe in our lives.
Yeah.
Jesus is to be honored. The Spirit is to be revered. Why? No, that's a good question. Why? What is so awesome about God? Right? I'm telling you that He's awesome, to revere Him. The Bible's telling you, well, why? You know, the first thing is why. We can't even see Him, right? It's easier to be in awe of stuff that we could see, right? Wow. And then we can't see God, right? And maybe that should be all the more reason to fear Him, right? He's invisible. And so that adds to His power in my mind, right? Isaiah 40, verse 25, God says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." You know, God says, "To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal?" And then He has us look to the stars to understand He's the one behind the stars, to help us understand just how great He truly is. How awesome do you view God? Now, God wants us to know how awesome He is. I think that's why He gave us passages like this to read, and why we have storms, lightning, wind, thunder and fire, the ocean, mountains, sunsets, and an expanding universe beyond our comprehension, just to give us an idea of His awesomeness. That we see this stuff and go, wow, God made that?
Yeah.
And we understand He must be incredible.
Wow.
You know, in life, there's things that amaze us and get us to jump up and down, right? Like things people do, sports, things that happen, movies, food. There's stuff we're like, wow, this is awesome. But the Bible says if you saw God face to face, you would die. That's what the Bible says. If anyone saw Him face to face, you'd die. That's why to go to heaven, we need new bodies. Right? Our human body and mind could not handle God's true awesomeness. It would kill you. Right? If you could handle it, if you could handle seeing God, you'd suddenly be bored by everything else that's ever excited you. The Bible says, who will you compare me to? That's how awesome I am. God compares to no one and nothing. We must know how radiant, impressive, and dominating our God is. Right? Just to scratch the surface, God, who is God? What is He like? God is holy. He is perfect. Right? God is in a league completely of His own. There's animals, there's things that don't have life, there's us humans, there's angels, but then there's God who is in a league of His own. He is set apart. He is the only God. He is flawless. God cannot sin. James says He's not even tempted with sin.
Wow.
Imagine that for a minute. God is so holy that sin doesn't even tempt Him. He can't be tempted by sin. God has never done anything wrong. He has never done wrong, thought wrong, or said wrong. God is incorruptible. We're corruptible. God is incorruptible. God is righteous. He is just. He brings about justice. He is compassionate. He is loving. The Bible says He is love. He is slow to anger. God is merciful. These are all parts of his character. And he doesn't just have these the way we do, like, oh yeah, I'm merciful, right? But sometimes, right? God is this in perfection, these characteristics, right? God is all powerful. He can do anything.
Right.
The Bible says nothing is impossible for God.
Right.
You got to let that sink in. God can do anything. God can do anything. He is all knowing. God is all wise. He is always right. What he says is always true. Right? Everything that impresses us about science, about math, about nature, he's the designer behind all of that. As we understand how things work, it shouldn't draw us away from God. It should draw us even more to God as the designer behind all of it. God is all places. He is spirit, the Bible says. And that means he is outside of space. And the Bible also teaches that God is outside of time. He is hindered by neither time or space, which means God is always present yesterday, today, and forever. If you could try to, we can't wrap our minds around that. We live in a world that time is linear, right? And so we can't understand, how could I be yesterday, tomorrow, and today at the same time? But that's where God is God, and he is set apart. He created time, he created space, but he is outside of it. He's always present with us. God is the creator. He's the creator of earth. And we look at earth and we go, wow, it's amazing. We got to remember God's the one who designed it and created it. What's blown my mind is to learn that earth is still 65% unexplored. Right? We still have 65% of our planet that we've not looked at or captured or mapped out. Right? There's still so much of just this planet, let alone the rest of the universe, that we have yet to see. Of all of the animals and life that has been discovered, which there's a lot, and to be honest, I love animals. And when I go to zoos and stuff, I'm like, wow, look at God's creativity to make all of this and then create ecosystems where it all works out together. Right? We've only discovered, scientists estimate, 15% of the life that's on this planet. 15%. And so much of that is in the ocean, in jungles, and unexplored areas. There's still, we've seen so much to draw us to God, and really there's still so much more to see. Right? You got to take into account the complexity of the human body. And not just our body, but our soul and our minds and our emotions. Right? I love thinking about God as the creator and also the one who conceptualized things like colors. Right? Try right now, you won't be able to do it, to think of a color that you've never seen before. You can't do it. God created every single color. He conceptualized every color, the rainbow. Right? He came up with that. Flavors, right? The idea of taste, God came up with that. When you taste something you like, thank God. You know, things like feelings, right? Imagine if we didn't have emotions. It'd be a really boring world. God gave us our emotions. Music is the invention of God, right? Things like friendship, family, laughter. These are all things that we did not create. God created these things. And we live in this universe that God created where there are over 100 billion galaxies, each with over 100 billion stars, with over a billion stars of its own. I can't wrap my mind around any of those numbers, let alone say them right. Right? Like, we just live in this world that should put us in awe of God. And some of these things, like colors, flavor, feelings, friendship, music, we often appreciate those things or in awe of them without recognizing God is the one behind it. And these things should actually draw us even closer to God. And I so appreciate knowing that God is a personal God, that he didn't create all of this and then step back and say, I'm not really interested in you. Look how awesome the universe is. Right, he created all this, created you, and said, I want to know you. And then we sinned against him, and he said, okay, I want to forgive you. Right, God is all relationships that we need. We might think we need other relationships, and certainly we are designed to need people, and God puts people in our life. But what's amazing is that the Bible teaches that God could be our friend, a parent, a counselor, a savior, a lord, right? And the Bible even refers to him as the husband of the church. God is every relationship that we really need. He fulfills our relational needs. And then you could think personally about all the ways that he's awed you in your life. This is stuff we can all see. But then we've all in our own personal lives seen the special ways that God has awed us. The experiences he's let us have, the gifts, the ways he's forgiven you specifically, the ways he's protected you, provided for you, that are special and specific just to you and your story and the way that he's awed you. Now, these are just some of the ways, and you can study all of these out even more to deepen your awe of God. You know, and to help us understand even more who God is, I want to share with you a Bible study that I did on the names of God. You know, a title or a name helps us understand who someone is. Right? When we know somebody's name or we know somebody's title, we get a better idea, well, who is that person? Names and titles mean a lot. Right? Like, I could put a picture, I don't have one, but I could put a picture of a woman up on the screen and say, you know, look at this woman or whatever, right? But then if I said, this is my mom, as soon as you hear this is my mom, you understand her differently. If you know me, she might even matter more to you, and you know she certainly matters a whole lot more to me just because of the title mom, right? And there's people in your life. He's my friend, professor, whatever, right? Like a title, a name carries with it part of the identity of who that person is and their value, right? Right, so we have people in our life, brothers, sisters, friends, fathers, coaches, doctors, and these titles, they carry with it identity and who they are or what they can do. Right, if somebody has the title of doctor, that means they should be able to do something other people can't do, right? And so titles help us understand who people are. And here's the thing is God, we often just refer to God as God, Jesus, right? But God actually has a load of names and titles in the Bible. And each of these give us a different angle and insight into who he is. And the more we see and understand these names and titles of God, really the greater of in awe of him we will be. And so I studied these out and I put together this descriptive list of, I think, almost all of the names and titles that God has in the Bible from start to finish. And this doesn't include any of the made-up titles you could give him from things he did. Right? Like you could give God cool nicknames like the Sea Splitter, right? Things from Exodus, right? Like you could give God so many other names, even personal things that he's done in your life, right? But these are just the titles that are actually used of God in the Bible. And so I actually will have this up on the screen as I go through it. And you can read along. And every word that is bolded is a name or title of God that's actually used in a passage in the Bible. And you can take a picture or whatever, the scripture is written in parentheses after it. And if any of these stand out to you, you can write it down, go study this out more to deepen your understanding of who is God and strengthen your awe of him. But as I go through this, try your best to really listen and let it sink in and grow in your awe of God. Sound good? So, the word God comes from Elohim. Elohim means God. Elohim is a plural word meaning strong one. And so Elohim is plural of majesty, and it implies the Trinity, which is really cool. Right? It's a plural word meaning strong one, but it's plural. And so in God exists the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as the strong one. This title is especially used of God's sovereignty, creative work, mighty work for Israel, and in relation to his sovereignty. He is the Almighty who stands on the mountains and summons the thunder. Having unlimited power, omnipotent, distinct and infinitely exalted above his creation. Nature and creation cannot contain him any more than an artist can be contained in his painting. There is nothing God cannot do. He is the Most High God. This name illuminates God's strength, sovereignty, and supremacy over everything. It shows that he is above all. There is no one nothing that compares to him. The everlasting God. God never gets tired, never goes to sleep, never is absent, always has been, always is, and always will be. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is before and after all things, and in him all things hold together. Amen. He is the Amen. What he decides, so will it be. The maker and creator of the heavens, the earth and the constellations, the ocean and the land. He himself has given us life and breath and everything else. The great I Am is his name. The Lord is our banner. God is our rallying cry and our means of victory. The one who fights for his people. The Lord will provide. God provides for his people. By name and nature, he is the provider. He will make sure you have everything you need at all times. He will take care of you. The Lord is our peace and rest. God is our comforter and consolation through sadness and times of hardship or trial. He really cares about what you are going through, and he is there with you. The Lord of hosts is the commander of the armies of heaven. He summons legions of angels. He is the governor and master of all the earth and universe. All authority in heaven and on earth belong to him. He is the ruler of all creation as the eternal and just judge, reigning as the great fear, perfectly blameless in his holy temple. In him there is no darkness at all. He is all good all the time, always righteous and doing what is right. He is the sovereign and holy one. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. But God is our advocate, who publicly speaks to support us, defend us, and for our cause. He pleads our case. He will boldly stand before your accuser, that ancient serpent called the devil, and defend your name. He is the faithful and true witness, our guardian angel, the great apostle with the voice of a prophet, proclaiming his message to every nation, and who has brought this great gospel to us, which is Jesus, the gift of God. The Messiah is our means of sanctification, the horn of our salvation. The Lord is our deliverer from the power of Satan, slavery of sin, and troubles of this life. He is the redeemer of our life from the pit. The Passover Lamb of God, who was slain as the sacrifice for our sins. Our Savior, who became our ransom. God himself, God gave himself to save us. He humbled himself and became the friend of sinners. He is our great high priest and mediator to connect us to God. He is the purifier of our souls and refiner of our character. He cares about who you are and wants you to be great to his glory. The Lord cares for his people as a shepherd cares for the sheep of his pasture. Jesus is the chief, good, and great shepherd of our souls, guiding, directing, protecting, and ushering us towards him. He is the gate into our home in heaven. God is our everlasting Father. Through Jesus, God becomes our personal Father. Father is used of God in the Bible 260 times. Our Abba, intimate Father. He loves you as a parent to his child. The Christ, Jesus, is the branch promised as king from the root of David. Every person ever born will fall at the feet of the Lion of Judah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Emmanuel, God with us, the anointed one. Jesus, the Nazarene, is the seed of Abraham. Born of a virgin, the son of Mary, the son of David, the son of man, son of God, the Most High. The second and last Adam who gives life to all who earn death. The first and only of his kind who never sinned, although tempted in every way that we are. He is the Word and the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the bread of life, the the source of strength in our existence, our daily bread, and so we no longer hunger. Yeah. The fountain of living water we can drink from and never thirst. He is the potter that formed us in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is our portion, our cup, and our ultimate reward, my crown and diadem. He is the bridegroom, a faithful husband to his church of whom he is eternally vowed as the head. He is the vine that binds us all together to be a fruitful branch and gardener that keeps us growing. He is the resurrection to a new and eternal life, the first fruits from the grave declaring, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? From the start of each morning, he is the day spring, morning star and day star, the glory of God all day and all night over the earth, the sun of righteousness. The mighty one is our pride, and he is also our guide, who tells us what is best for us and leads us in the way everlasting. He is our rabbi, our teacher, to a life that is truly life and a truth that sets us free. He is our wonderful counselor. In gentleness, wisdom, and care, he is our physician, binding the wounds of the broken and healing the sick, a servant leader to our needs. He is the carpenter who builds our house on the rock. He is our firm foundation and cornerstone. He is the sacred stone and solid rock on which we stand, our refuge and helper in times of trouble, a strong home whom we can cling to, our fortress and shield from the storm. He is our dwelling place and constant presence. God is home. God is always here. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world and Prince of Peace, the mighty, righteous, and upright one enthroned in heaven. Are you in awe of God yet? Are you in awe of God? The Bible says God never changes. He is who he is. And so God is all of this that I just read. He is all of this in our lives every day. When you say God, when you refer to God, when you speak of God, what I just read is who you're talking about. Not just some of those things, all of those things. Right, when you read the Bible, that's whose words you're believing and obeying. When you pray, that's who's listening and answering. When you sin, that's who you're disrespecting and separating yourself from. When you share your faith, that's who you're trying to bring into someone's life. When you look at the cross, that's who hung there and died for you. That's who forgave you and continues to forgive you. That's who's inviting you to come and spend eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth that he's creating. That's who he is every day, and that's who is living with you and wants to use your life. Now let this remind you, and let us remind all of us, that our life, this world, is not about us. The world does not revolve around you. It does not revolve around me. And let's not forget that. How could it when this is the one who created it? The world, the universe, bows down to God. And that's who we need to bow down to as well. God is so worthy of your admiration, your service, your obedience, your commitment, your faithfulness, your everything. God is worthy of your awe, your wonder, your reverence, your admiration, because our God is awesome. Let's dive deeper and deeper into how awesome our God is. Let's sit in awe of God. Let's stand in awe of God. Let's live in awe of God. And one day, let's die in awe of God. Amen.
Amen.